It is indeed the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Guillermo Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof radio program. And you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR. On this program, do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me the egg. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth, who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence.
And the high taxes, and that caused this homelessness because they couldn't pay their rents. And the United States, and now they were trying to find because you don't have the space, needed space. What they're doing now, opening up the motel rooms and giving the people the needed space, can put, you know, start to ease this coronavirus. I know that it destroys the lungs, and the lungs are very, very sensitive tissue. And you have to take care of your hygiene, and being homeless is very difficult. Mm-hmm. So a scarf. And I think that that would be a good factor. They wouldn't have to be searching and searching and going everywhere looking and trying to grab other people's blankets, because, believe this or not, go around trying to grab your blankets. These guys, because they have issues, they leave their blankets. Yeah. But a sleeping bag, they won't.
Yeah, you got one in your hand. Yes. Kelly just gave you one.
Right?
And yeah.
It's easy to carry. It's not a...
It's a really nice one.
It is. It's beautiful. And thank you, Kelly, for the sleeping bag. And the reason why they're so important is because these guys that lose their blankets, they can keep it with them all the time like this. Yeah. That is very helpful for the homeless people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to give a shout out to where I got those is for folks that do have access to the internet and access to Facebook.
Yes.
There is a group called Buy Nothing 1 Mile.
Okay.
And if you go on their site, everything is just shared items. So wow. I put a call out for tents and sleeping bags, and a woman in town said I've got two and pick them up, and so I went to her house, picked them up. But Buy Nothing 1 Mile is a local group that's okay. all just sharing resources.
Okay, so it's just BUY Nothing, NOITHING,
and then the 1 Mile is the Chico group. They have okay. all across the nation.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sanitizer for you.
Sanitizer. Okay, right. I read about you guys.
Tammy, I really
very
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, Chico DSA. They're for the people, of the people, by the people. Tammy, it's been wonderful talking with you. I've been doing this, and I'm really...
It was made for you and me. And homelessness is a state of mind. Because we're in America, this is... And to help each other. And that was what made America. So that is the hope I have.
All right. Guillermo Mash here. Welcome to the May 6th Pandemic Edition with your host, me. You just heard Tammy's Will to Survive from her Creekside home on Little Chico Creek during a homeless encampment outreach stop Friday afternoon with my friend Kelly Munson. Wow. Tammy had such a strength to her while being wild-eyed and in obvious distress from her situation. Peeking out from behind her face mask with a streak of blood on her nose, punctuating the direness of her situation. But even through all of it, you kind of came out with it in her interview. Even though she was in distress, she was on top of her game. Got that all around. All right, later in the program, we have a handful of short interviews from last Saturday's Mutual Aid Cleanup at Lindo Channel and Little Chico Creek. The cleanup was tainted by being poked in the stomach. That was me. Got poked by what I am near certain was a needle while disposing debris bags into the Chico DPW dumpster. Yes, I plan to get appropriately tested ASAP. Thank you. Am I concerned? Sure. Yet it saddens me more to see community service politicized and weaponized by right-wing nut packs and cleanup groups masquerading as environmentalists. Social media is loaded with bad actors taking pictures of trash while proclaiming who to hate and who to vote for. The vast majority of kind, caring, and decent humans that comprise Chico and the surrounds need to take notice and remember who divides. For all negatives. You know, next up is Kelly and our other homeless encampment outreach teammate, Kate. All that and more here on People Powered Radio. I'm out here with the couple of the volunteers for the homeless encampment outreach, Kelly. And what was your name again?
I'm Katie.
I wanted an opportunity just to kind of get some reflection, not only from today, but for the other three or four times you've been out, Katie.
Yeah, it's been eye-opening for sure. There's a lot of people out here, and everybody is extremely grateful for our help. They really just want their basic needs, and they just need food, water, and a safe place to sleep and shelter in place during the pandemic.
To me, it still hits me every time I say, do you want a trash bag? And people are like, yeah. Yeah. They're all happy to get a trash bag.
Trash bags and hand sanitizer. That's like the big thing. Mm-hmm. Water, trash bag, hand sanitizer. That's like the big things they need. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're asking for.
What about you, Kelly Munson?
One of the things that I love seeing is how these folks take care of each other.
Amen that.
You know, like, have you, you know, so-and-so down the way, have you checked on them? Or this person, I know that they need this. And not all, but a lot of them are keeping track of each other. They are their own mutual aid, you know, sharing resources and sharing information. And so it's like a neat...
connects them with community. It knows you're just out there because you like to be with people, and it makes them feel human, more human. But you went down to a nice little hydroponic farm. You had like some plants going down there. Maybe a little story.
And the backstory on that is when he was in prison in Tracy, he could see through the bars out into the yard, and there was an organic farm there. And he said to on the creek, but he has created a raised bed.
Of hope, Kelly. I'm really enjoying the message of hope I get from folks.
I mean, just seeing how these folks have been able to survive with keep up the mutual aid in our neighborhoods, in our businesses, on the streets. We definitely have enough for all.
What about you? Suffering too. That's a word that's, yeah, a lot of suffering. Thank you, ladies. All right, I'm here with, what's your name, sir?
Neil Heinlein.
Neil just did a wonderful job. I saw it from the creek. This guy was just barrel-assing through Humboldt Ave. He could have killed somebody. He was with one of the local landscaping crews, and he was on the other side of the bridge yelling into his phone. I don't know what his problem was, but Neil went over there and made sure that he got a picture of this guy and told him what he was, you know, don't do that in my space. I like that, Neil.
That, someone needs to stand up.
Yeah. Yeah.
These people that have something are walking all over us. And honestly, there's not a living soul that has to have anything to be, you know, to be somebody. You're given that ability the day you're born. Mm-hmm. I believe that is true. We're all human.
Thank you, Neil. All right. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Kelly. And thank you, Neil. Thanks all of the folks that are involved with the Chico Homeless Encampment Outreach during the pandemic. And They are available by appointment only. So you probably want to take this number, 345-5011. And without a roof, also made possible, bankruptcy law offices of Michael O'Hayes, a proud supporter of community radio. Michael O'Hayes offers consultations for Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies for residents of Northern California. He's been doing that for over 30 years. Next up, Laura Kutsuna, Executive Director at Jesus Center, a long-standing presence on the outskirts of downtown Chico, providing a myriad of homeless services, including food, shelter, day center resources, and much more here on your community radio station, KZFR 90.1 FM. Guillermo Mash here with a pre-record for the May 6th edition of the Without a Roof Radio program. I'm very pleased to have the Executive Director of the Jesus Center, Laura Kutsuna, on the phone to kind of give some breaking news to our listeners around the Renewal Center and the movement of the JC from downtown to the Work Training Center. Welcome to KZFR, Laura Kutsuna.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be here.
Yeah, you know what I want to do is I just want to read a little bit of the press release and then just their clients. Work Training Center has agreed to the sale of 6.2 acres of property and buildings along Fair Street that will allow the Jesus Center to relocate its primary services. The location also provides the space needed to move forward with the development of the highly anticipated Renewal Center, where multiple service organizations will be able to co-locate to offer help and hope to those struggling with homelessness. And I would just kind of let you take it from there and fill us in on some of the meat of all of this.
Yeah, well, that is the center of the news, is that most of your listeners know we have been looking for a new home for the Jesus Center for about 4 years. And 3 years ago, the And that's been our focus since the summer of 2017. It was all contingent on the city being able to relocate the BMX track to another location in a timely fashion for us to continue to develop that site. And unfortunately, it became clear to us some 6-8 months ago that in addition to their difficulty in relocating the BMX folks, we were also seeing skyrocketing prices from building from the dirt up. And this was concerning to our team. So we began looking for a building that we could instead retrofit. And we've looked at many properties over the last 4 years and several in the last 6 months. Generous and letting Safe Space queue up there this winter. So I called Don over at the Work Training Center and just said, "Hey, Don, any thoughts?" And this year they couldn't use that church across the street, so they moved to the Work Training Center. So, you know, I know that it's on the newsletter this week from Safe Space that they continue to pursue a permanent location. So we will continue to see them as a partner, and we're working even now on the project room key with the county and the tourist shelter and safe space. So I don't see a direct impact, and you know, we are always willing to work with them.
Give us a little idea, our listeners, and we say 6.x acres. What's the building square footage and what kind of layout does it have?
Yeah, so the buildings that are on the east side of the property are the ones that we building that has 5,500 square feet. It's not in the best of shape. We're hoping to be able to salvage it, but really, for the most part, the rest of the buildings and or continue to be in conversation with Jamboree Housing Corporation, who are purchasing our property to build. Larger parcel because we have so much space now.
One operation that I'm most keen on, probably nearest and dearest to me, and I probably ideal location as far as room for folks. Maybe give us some idea of what kind of move you're going to.
Our programming. I mean, it's just really where all the magic begins in so many ways. And right. We have imagined 12 to 15 bed special population units that would then be co-operated with agencies with specialties like the aging or like those with behavioral health issues. We've even talked to Catalyst Domestic Violence Services for a unit and Youth for Change for a unit, so that some of those populations that are not served in a large multi-population congregant setting can get the care. Is already launching. We have a pilot going right now. It's just in its nascent stages, particularly since our partner is Enloe, and Enloe has had many things on their plate the last 4 months. So I pneumonia. Conditions that need the space, need the roof, but really don't need a medical facility for that recovery, because we will be operated by us, so it's not considered a medical facility. And if there's any, you know, increase in need, then they would just go back to ENLO.
So I've actually done that here at my home maybe two or three times. So would the process be, you know, once the person is you know, well enough, that they would move into some other, hopefully some other housing situation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Basically, you're getting a prescription.
Location to Fair Street Work Training Center. One question I do have, and it's the toughest one, I guess, in a way. It's, you know, expectations and services for the chronically unsheltered. Best way to tee it up, because I just talked about this, the two people over the years that have, it's more than that actually, but the two that pop into my head, I got three now popping in my head, that I quote unquote left my place, I set them up to go elsewhere. One of them's died on the street, and two of the other ones are back on the street. So the reality is, and you know it as well as I do, some of these folks that are chronically unsheltered.
Developments in the last year has been the county. End their homelessness. And so I know that the COC, under the guidance of the county, has newly installed a team looking just at the chronic. You know, we have seen a lot of the chronic ending up in Project Room Key. And
yes,
if you were out there,
yes,
and
yep,
you know, you've seen folks, you can see the difference, right?
Like, oh my God, yeah.
And you know, an emotional difference, that will give them that sense that there's something more. We all accommodate ourselves to limitations, and my hope is that some of those folks will see that there's more for them.
Yeah, you're going to hear from Mama Rose in this show, but essentially when I talked with Mama Rose, I told her, I said this, I'll say it again, I guess, you know, as long as I've been working with people that are experiencing homelessness, I can almost always tell when they're housed. You can just tell by their demeanor.
Oh, totally. And even the most remedial shelter can help someone stabilize. And it's when that happens that they can begin working on some of those other issues. But until that happens, you are just in a survival mode. And that is just, it's a different part of your brain that's working.
Right.
It's just very difficult to pull it together when you
I've been ending with questions of hope, and it's been amazing some of the answers I've got. But Mama Rose, when I hear language around, you know, we can just solve this one issue or do this or that, we're going to get you housed, knowing that there's very little housing for these folks. And I think that's
right.
What folks get frustrated with, you know? And that's what I mean by the chronically homeless. I mean, how we can fellowship with people that we know their opportunities are limited, but they're still part of our community.
Absolutely. Having this agreement with the Work Training Center to purchase their land, is this is what they do as well. And I think, it's really, I worked for the ARC, so one of, you know, their colleagues in the work with the intellectually disabled. And I remember writing some, you know, pieces for the ARC and thinking, these are members of our community. What are we going to do to enhance their opportunities to be their full selves? And that is exactly the line that I would use with the folks that are served by the Jesus Center, the Torah Shelter, Project Room Key. And they are part of our community. What are we going to do to come alongside to give them the opportunities to be their full selves?
To add on to the full self, I think it was an interview with Emily Bateman some years ago for Youth for Change.
And let us come alongside each other and remind each other, right? All of
I just want folks to be cognizant of the fact and get some input from you that these are community members. So, you know, once there's a quote unquote, the JC is down the other end of town, there's a renewal center. Just because that's down the other end of town doesn't mean people can't be out and about because they're part of our community. What would you add to that?
Yeah, you know, again, we can only offer opportunities for people to take steps forward. Shelter and safe space are not everyone's cup of tea. We cannot force people in. Ways forward.
So. Above and beyond that, though, they may be involved with your program. Maybe they're involved extensively, whatever programs you set up, Laura. But the real point is they can be other places around town. They don't have to be, you know, all codgered down in South Georgia.
No.
Right.
You can
I know we laugh, but you get somewhere. You get people that think that's the solution is just lock them up somewhere. Certainly, just as we have freedom, I go certain places because I like to be there. I mean, that's right. Not always the case. It's like, I guess I got to go. But I know the folks extremely well down at
acres. There's actually some mature trees.
Snippet, but maybe some closing comments or something we haven't talked about that was on your heart to get out there to the community members.
Yeah, I mean, I think the exciting thing is our timeline is going to be fast. We're hoping that we could be fully operational within the year, and we will.
baptized. One of the first people that we met, him and my husband, just used to sit out on the Cohasset Road and count colors of cars. Out of the hospital he needs to be in. See, the ones that get out of the hospital need to be in. It's taken forever to get them in. But I've seen other ones that, I mean, I'm not even as bad as he is, you know, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, just from the looking, yeah, I would say, yeah, Ty needs some help. That's why I slipped him $5.
He have to wait. That's what I'm saying. Why does he have to wait?
How's things going for you?
They're going okay. They won't let me do my Sunday dinners right now. Because then there's too many crowds, you know.
How about I bring you burritos every Saturday, Sunday? You can give them out.
Sounds like an idea, because a lot of them
menu. Open 12 noon to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Ohm's full menu is at I Love OM Food. Details 530-965-5263 and by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. At 518-0909. It's got some views on sanitation and access to water. Followed immediately after by my direct observations from a bike ride starting at Downtown Plaza and ending in Upper Bidwell Park on Sunday. It's a nice little ride here on People Powered Radio. So I'm here with Charles. And he's got some words to say around sanitation and water. Welcome to KZFR, Charles.
Hello. I just think that, you know, we need showers and stuff like that. We need a little bit more places to go, resources and stuff. 211 is doing good. You guys are all helping us good. You know, we're eating really good. And so, thank you, though.
What about the water?
They shut up all the waters except for the plaza, bathrooms except for the plaza. Where else are bathrooms open? Nowhere, huh? No place to shower. You have to shower in the bathroom, plaza, or wash up, whatever you want to call it.
So if they dropped the hand sanitation and a porta potty at Humboldt and Pine, that would probably help a couple of dozen people?
Yes, it would. It would help a lot. Yeah, very much.
Charles, I always asking people for a message of hope. What's your message of hope for the community?
Just...
Park. Might have been 8, actually. Today, I verified that the lock on the dumpster in Lower Park under the Highway 99 bridge, as Eric Gustafson, Chico DPW director, said it would be. Thank you for unlocking that so people can put their things where it needs. Operational. Although it is Wednesday, the day it was scheduled. Basic service. All right, so what we got coming up next is a series of interviews from last Saturday's Mutual Aid Cleanup focusing on Lindo Channel and Little Chico Creek off Humboldt Road. We start the segment, we just heard a little bit of them, with my friend Bill Kerninsky. org and Chico Housing Action Team at Chico Housing Action Team. Don't let anyone tell you that Kerninsky doesn't know how to bag trash. He's got some mad bagging trash skills.
This is the president doing his job.
He's a chat president.
Let me grab one too.
All right.
Let me get the smaller one.
All right, you get the small one.
All right.
I get the wheel.
He's got a wheel.
All right.
He's wheeling and dealing.
Keep on rolling. There we go.
What do you got to say about your experience out here today, Bill Kerninsky?
Just doing their little bit, you know? It's eating elephant. One bite at a time.
You got this cool shirt, too, that says Pitch In, Volunteer, Chico, California, Make a Difference Day. Whoa!
It kind of works, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, I wore it exactly for today.
Give us some chat. Some hope for chat. Give us some hope.
We're looking at two sites right now, and it sounds really good. And I hope it comes through. So this tiny village concept is not going away. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen one way or another. It took Portland 15 years. We've only been at it for 7, so we got another 7 to make it right.
Closing comments, Mr. Kerninsky?
This is it. Thanks so much. Appreciate you, Bill.
You know, cleaning up the encampments here on Lindo Channel. Welcome to KZFR, Rebecca.
Hey, Guillermo.
What's your generally speaking, what are you seeing out here?
A lot of trash. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, all varieties of trash. Mm-hmm. You know, everything from a few appliances. I found some cables, like someone was watching cable TV down here. clothing. Just flotsam and jetsam of our society. You know, bottles, things you'd expect.
What I see is little mounds of need in a beautiful natural space.
Yeah.
The majority of this place is beautiful to be in. What would you say to that?
Either drifted or people encamped or stopped for a while.
Right.
Sometimes you'll find like a mound of cigarette butts or whatever where it looks like some people lingered and smoked together, probably a couple people at least because there's several of them, or that maybe it was their regular smoking spot, things like that. But then, yeah, you'll find the larger mounds of trash either gathered because it blew there or washed there or because someone was camping.
I thought the folks, generally speaking, did a good job by the Lindo Channel Bike Path Bridge off Esplanade, packing their trash up so that we could pick it up. What would you say to that?
I actually totally agree. It wasn't, you know, as bad as it could be considering, you know, the large populations of people moving through and even just foot traffic from regular day users. You know, it was actually not bad at all.
Any closing comments, Rebecca?
Come out. This is a blast. We just listened to Kool and the Gang a bit ago. You'll feel really smug because, you know, we're better than other people. We got up early on Saturday.
And you got like a charcoal smudge on your forehead. I love it. I'm going to get a picture of that for the forward promo. Thanks, Rebecca Charles.
Thank you, Guillermo, for inviting me. Thank you.
I'm here with one of the core volunteers for the Homeless Encampment Outreach, Alex. And welcome to KZFR, Alex.
Hello. Thank you. Have really been doing it these past few weekends.
Any closing comments, Alex?
Well, I'd say that if you give people the means, if you give houseless people the means of helping themselves and giving them trash bags and giving them a trash service, this wouldn't be a problem. This wouldn't be a problem. Criminalization is the reason why all these things are out here, because people have to live in survival mode. And so I'd say if we create some sort of sanctioned campground or something in which people can actually feel like they have a home, it would be much better than what we've got now.
I'm out here with my friend Gerard Ungerman from Respectful Revolution. I'm here on KZFR 90. How about your experience today?
Well, Bob called me this morning and said that Chad and some volunteers were picking up trash. And that's something that, to me, is important. Both as just a simple person, I hate trash, and I think picking it up is really awesome. And also, I've been documenting now for a year and a half all kinds of activities that chats are conducting to try to find solutions to the homelessness issue in Chico. And I came here, and I found in particular, you know, a group of... It's a fantastic, heartwarming solution in action right here.
Yeah, always what I would.
It's super gratifying, you know, it's kind of thing where you see the result of your action right away.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some other aspect of combating homelessness that maybe we may take much, much longer, may even be frustrating, you hit roadblocks. But picking up trash, it's instant, you see the result. And also, it has the potential to really unify the entire community.
closing comments?
Yeah, life is good.
All right, my friend. It's always good seeing you.
Thank you so much, Rita.
Life is good. Eternal optimist. My friend Gerard Ungerman. And that last interview was filmed and orchestrated by Gerard Ungerman with the Respectful Revolution at the request of Chico Housing Action Team. Learn more about the Respectful Revolution Project at respectfulrevolution.org. And be sure to visit their YouTube.
Relationship and my kids were subjected to it. They weren't being hit. They were just watching me get beat up every single day, numerous times a day. And so my neighbors called CPS on me. And because my kids were watching the abuse, they considered that child endangerment, which I can see it was. But I tried to get out of the relationship, but the guy was insane. Like, he didn't care about the restraining order. He would break into my house. And yeah, it was bad. It was really, really bad. So with that, the kids got taken and I got depressed and I gave up. I quit going to work and I got the eviction notice because I quit going to work because I was depressed because my kids got taken. And then my mother said she was going to move in and help. She moved in and she helped herself to my resources until we had to move. She didn't help out with bills. And so I had to surrender my dogs and my cats to the SPCA. And I stayed at the tourist shelter and was working on my case plan with CPS. But they told me that if I was in the tourist shelter, I wouldn't get my kids back, which that's fucked up. But both my boys have autism. And just last November, they got adopted out officially. But they've been with the same person they've been with the whole entire time, which it's been like 5 years now. And in that time, I've been in and out of the tourist shelter. They kicked me out the last time about a year ago for flipping somebody off. And so here we are today. It sucks. You know, I gave up. I shouldn't have. But, I mean, God's got a plan for everybody. So I don't know what mine is yet.
I get no